birthday party for Little Rock Animal Village. Anybody that's familiar with Little Rock Animal Services, Little Rock Animal Village in Little Rock, which is the largest shelter in Arkansas, right two blocks south of the Asher University intersection, behind what used to be ITT Technical Institute.
And the name of the street?
The name of the street is Thayer Street, but I'm not Thayer. First T.
First T.
Yeah.
Go out there and then head over to Landmark Fire Department.
Well, this, we're going from 10 until 2. 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, so it's not going to be any time near 5 o'clock.
That'll work.
But it'll be the eighth birthday of the eighth anniversary of, since the shelter's been open.
You know, I went in the very beginning of that shelter being open.
Yeah, and actually we're going to dedicate a 6-foot bronze statue from in the front of the shelter. It's about a $35,000 piece of artwork by a local artist.
I may come out there.
Yeah.
A statue of what?
It's going to be a man and working with dogs.
And Bacon Fest starts in the morning at the fairground.
It does.
So you can get your bacon in the morning and fish in the evening.
And Rocktoberfest in the evening.
Oh, God.
A lot going on.
Yeah, is that a river market tomorrow? Yeah.
Bacon, fish, and beer.
There you go. Sounds like a good day to me.
Anything with bacon on it.
I'm telling you. That's true. Yeah. Well, speaking of spirits, believe it or not, most people have some mediumistic abilities. Not everyone, but a lot of people have mediumistic abilities. They see spirits. It's not uncommon. Usually that when that happens, they're born with it and they start seeing spirits when they're really, really young. And it can be really scary for people. I've always seen spirits my whole life. It's just the way it was. But you have to, again, take authority with that and don't allow it to scare you. And I learned to talk to them. I would ask them questions if I could engage with them. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're a ghost in their house and they don't understand and it spooks them. Sometimes they're lost in their own world and they can't see you or anything else. They're in their time. And you're not even there. And sometimes they will engage or try to get help or try to talk to you.
So when they're wanting help, usually what kind of help are they wanting?
They want to be acknowledged. Can you imagine you lose your physical body and you don't know it? And you're alive and well, and you look down, you've got hands, you're complete, you're okay. And no one will pay any attention to you.
The sixth sense.
Yeah, the sixth sense. No one will pay any attention to you. And you may go on for years like that, where no one, you can yell at them, you can do anything, and they don't acknowledge you. And you want help. You want to understand what has happened to you, what this condition is. Are you still in body? Are you having a bad dream? What is going on? Then you get angry because you think that, you know, you're damned in some way because you didn't go to heaven and you haven't gone to hell. And where's this God and where's this religion that I was told works for me? You're locked in. So you find out that you can turn a light on or off. Wow, that gets attention. It scares the crud out of them, but it gets attention. You turn on television, gets attention. But they're scared. Okay, well, this is better than nothing. Let's just scare them. Let's go with it. So that's what they do. They get scared. You see that they have a power. They're a person again. And so they use it. And they may get really, really mean with it. It all depends. Every human being is unique in their personality and their character while they're alive and after they've lost their body. They don't change. So, What I learned to do was I learned to speak to those that I could make contact with and ask them what happened. I remember one young man, I got called to this house because he wandered into their house, and they didn't know what that was about, why he was there or anything. And I remember his name was Bobby. I asked him, I said, "What's your name?" He says, "My name's Bobby." I said, "Bobby, what happened to you? Why are you here?" He said, "I had a car accident up a ways." And he said, "My mom used to come here to have her hair done." It was his mother's beautician's house. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I just thought I'd come here because I didn't know what else to do and I didn't know where else to go." And he said, "They're scared of me, and I don't mean to scare them, but I don't know what to do." I said, "Bobby, you want help?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I need help." I said, "Okay. There's going to be a big, bright, white light that's going to show for you." This is before I learned how to work with the Band of Mercy and all that sort of thing. And I said, "When that white light shows up, I want you to go in it." He goes, "No, ma'am, I can't do that." I said, "Why not?" He said, "My mom and my sister, I've got a 13-year-old sister. I'm her big brother. I've got to take care of her. I can't go into that light." I said, "Bobby, you can't take care of her being here. You can't help your mom by being here, can you?" "No, ma'am." I said, "When you go into that bright white light, you'll be able to then visit your mother and your sister, and you can help them. Believe it or not, you will actually be able to help them much better than you can right now." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "They're going to send me to hell?" I said, "No, you're not going to be sent to hell. You walk into that bright white light, you're going to go straight to heaven. I promise you." I said, "Let's see what happens if we call for your loved ones that have already passed." He said, "You mean those dead people?" I said, "Bobby, I'm no more dead than you are."
Can't argue nice. That one.
He goes, "Oh." So I called, I asked that loved ones be brought forth for him. And he saw them, and he took their hand, and he went into the light. And the place was no longer haunted. He wasn't a nasty, mean ghost or anything. He was just a kid. You know, I was probably 16, 17 years old. Didn't know what happened to him. And when I see these ghost hunters out here, oh my God, the way they treat these poor people who have lost their bodies like they're some sort of animal or vicious or totally disrespectful. These are people, and sometimes they're kids, little kids. I went to this flower shop that was haunted, and there was a 6-year-old girl. She was so cute. 6 years old. She didn't know what had happened. She was there. There were other spirits that were locked, and they were all locked in different time zones. It's a really old place, and a lot of people had lived there, and a lot of people had died there. It was 100-some-odd years old.
Were they aware of each other?
No. No.
Really?
Because they're in different time zones. Yeah, whatever time zone, they can be layered.
Okay.
So I got all of them into the light, which was really, really good. The tricky thing about all this is when you are born with the gift of being able to see spirits and communicate with spirits, you have a responsibility that when they come into your life, you have the responsibility to get them redeemed back to God, or you wouldn't have the gift.
And that's what the lifting's all about.
That's what the lifting's about. That's what having knowledge. If you have knowledge, you can help them. You can assist them. You came here not only for your own personal growth, but you came here to help others and their personal growth as well. okay? Not by giving them money or, you know, I mean, but there are other things you can be as an example. You can use your gifts to help other people, and that's what it's about, or you wouldn't have it.
Sometimes you may not see them, but you sense them, you know they're there.
A lot of people.
Yeah. I had a little girl at my house a couple days ago swinging with us.
They wander in.
She, yeah.
That's
all
another
the time.
Thing, too. Spirits are nomadic very often. And if you live near a cemetery, well, good luck. They just wander in. I have them wandering into my house. I didn't know why. I found out if there was a cemetery just about 3 blocks away. And people kept wandering into my house. So when I found that out, I made sure I did a lifting like on a regular basis. Well, as soon as I learned how to do the lifting and all that.
I live by a school, and it used to be the elementary school across the street. And I think I'm getting a lot of those children, because we have them that come to play with my grandchildren a lot.
Well, children will...
Attract to children?
Children will attract children.
I let her swing with us for a little while. I mean, the swing was just going right along with us. And I told her, I said, we're going to have to go in now. And so I talked to her and told her about the light. And I said, you're going to see your family, and it's okay. They're going to come get you.
Yeah.
And then the swing stopped. So
That's what we're supposed to do, folks. That's what this is about. Whatever gifts that you have, you're supposed to use them. They're important. And you're important. You kind of understand? I'll be talking about some of this at the Paranormal Expo. That was one of the places that I encountered several spirits. And I was with our state historian, and Dr. Bergeson, and I worked with him and the director there on the history of Arkansas and talking directly to the spirits and getting information. Through one of the spirits, I was able to locate a tunnel that was used during the Civil War that was connected directly to the museum. At that point, it was a fort.
They were talking about that on the tour.
Yeah, that was me.
Right down to the Little Rock, down by the river, actual rock.
That was me. Well, me and a spirit.
Give him credit.
I have to. I couldn't have done it on my own. I mean, he was a watchman that stayed at the museum, and he knew what everything was. And he liked to pinch young women. They don't change. They just really don't change. And he took a fancy to me. I was younger. And he started telling me all the information, you know. And he said, well, over here is the tunnel. I said, where? He said, right there. That was where the tunnel was. He said, as a matter of fact, if you open that up, because we closed it off, you open it up, you'll find the tunnel. And there's also all sorts of things in the tunnel. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And they walked me over to another area, and he said, this is where the well was. Okay. And then he showed me all this stuff. So I told the curator, or the director of the museum, and Dr. Ferguson. And they opened up that area, and there was the tunnel. Tell me they aren't real.
And he was Civil War era?
No, he was during the time that it was it was after that. It was when it had just been turned kind of into a museum, and he worked there. He was nice. I liked him. He had a mustache.
But the tunnel was built during the Civil War.
Sure.
They did a lot of tunneling.
There was only one to that particular one, but there was also one that went to, I think, the Terry Mansion. But that's what he told me.
When you found went to the river, didn't it?
I think so, yeah. Because they used that to transport weapons, artillery sort of things.
Yeah. Now, the UFO thing at 1:30, that talk, is there any precautions that visitors should tell you? Because I know you say sometimes at UFO gatherings, can have aliens that show up.
You really want to be cautious at UFO conferences. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything to worry about this particular situation. Mm-hmm. Do you have the Shaddai? Do you have a Shaddai?
I have one. It's at my house.
Where it?
I think that's the binaural we're testing too, right?
Pardon?
The binaural we're testing for that.
Binaural.
They will, yes, if you ask for their protection. They most definitely will. I would just, I do that kind of on a daily basis, so. Yeah, they will protect you. Binaural. Any questions?
Should they be broached if they're not making contact? They're letting you know that they're there, but they're not making contact.
They should be broached. Yes, you should make a contact if you can. If not, I would call the, if it's at your property.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh, yeah, I have that, too.
But they won't come to their house.
Yeah. You can't do anything with them. Unless somebody asks you directly to clear their place, then you can. If they come to you asking for help, you can do something. If they don't, you really can't do anything. It's that free will thing. It's a law of free will.
But if they're on your property, you can.
If they're on your property, hell, yeah.
Well, it's just like we were camping. We're out in several. Didn't speak to him, but.
Shut up.
Let them know that they.
You're not crazy. Please understand. This is one of the most common situations. You would not believe how many people see spirits. You just would not believe.
Could they get by on the technicality that they were renting the space for the night?
Yeah, you could. Or a hotel, if you're renting. Yeah. It's yours. That's under your dominion. You bet. You just do that.
And then he dreams about it and has all these, you know, period dreams about the things that he's seen.
There may be more to the dreams than what you expect.
I'm sure there is.
It could be. There's another aspect of all this. When you're mediumistic, you also end up carrying a whole lot of spirits or having them attached to you. And your dreams can be their memories.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
You bet. I had a whole slew attached to me. A lot of them were murder victims, which came in handy at certain times when I worked on the murder. But it was a real hassle for me because three of them died with broken necks, and my neck was horrible shape from them. We're going to do a circle tonight, which will be a lifting, which will remove any of those from you, if you wish. It gets all the chatter out of your head.
It's so nice.
It is.
When it's gone.
Peaceful. I didn't know what a peaceful mind was until I had all the spirits removed from me, and I felt so vacant for a while. It was weird. It was just silent up there.
I thought everyone had that before I started coming. I thought everyone had that.
They do.
Yeah.
I've only run across two people that haven't.
Wow. It's a relief, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's huge. Absolutely huge. And most everybody's got spirits attached to them. It's horrible. And they make for aches, pains. Whatever they died of can manifest in your body. Not a good thing. You know, like bone cancer, brain cancer, all sorts of things. So be aware. But the lifting, you have that now. And if it says daily, that means daily. It doesn't protect you, okay, from spirits attaching. It gets them off and gets them out of your house and your property.
Into the light.
Yeah, you or get them the into the light.
Sanctuary.
They get redeemed. And that's what's important. Oh, yeah. Okay.
About the ones that aren't going to the light.
They all go to the light. Though even the worst of them go to the light.
Well, you're,
and you want them to go to the light,
right?
Because then they can learn and grow.
When you're doing the lifting, you're putting them in protected sanctuary.
Well, you're not. You are giving them they have an option.
Choice, yeah.
They have an option of going either into sanctuary or into the light through the band of mercy. And if they choose to go into sanctuary, they're still in the light.
He says that they all look angry and mean, like they were bad people when they were alive. I think that's...
They may have been, but then again, they may be just completely upset because they've been overlooked. They weren't taught the truth. They thought they were going to go to heaven or hell. They didn't get either. I mean, wouldn't you be upset? I would. Until I found out I could terrorize people. There are some spirits that ride airplanes. They've learned to travel.
That's good.
Go to bars.
Yeah, go to bars. Malls, shopping malls. Oh my God, they're filled.
And hospitals.
Hospitals are filled. Cemeteries are filled. Oh. New Orleans. New Orleans is filled.
Oh, I can imagine.
Remember that? I swear. Spirits love to go homeless and drop people they met at the bar.
Oh my God, yes, because they can drink and enjoy their habits.
Yep.
And
drink and smoke.
Drugs, oh my God, you draw to you all kinds of druggies that get to enjoy their drugs again via you. You will find yourself being drawn to eating things that maybe you didn't ever have an interest in, but they want to eat fried chicken or Mexican food or Chinese food or whatever the case is. They drive your body like it's their car.
And unless you have the lifting, you don't really know how to protect yourself. You don't know how to lock your car.
No, you do not.
And there's not really much information out there about how to lock your car.
I don't know of any information.
There's misinformation.
Yeah, there is a lot of disinformation on purpose. So be aware. They're fixing my little red wagon.
We're done. It was your hubcaps. Sorry. Oh, you need the hubcaps.
I need my hubcaps.
Do you want me to paint a CP on them? I can put a gold Shaddai on your hub. Though that can get messy.
Leave it alone. That's my red wagon. Nobody touches my red wagon.
We can make it Carol's red wagon. And we'll put flowers on it.
Oh, God.
Like, you know, Herbie the Love Bug.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Isn't there a song on the red wagon? Yeah, it's female
it
country.
It just came out.
Yeah,
like
singer.
Melinda.
Yeah.
Melinda Lambert.
That's who it is.
Must be my song.
Oh, it's a cute song, too.
Well, everybody deserves a little red wagon, right? Actually, this is for hauling stuff. I got tired of taking bags of groceries from the garage into the house. I've got a ramp in there now. It's suitable. One trip, red wagon. Yard work, yard equipment, yeah. Red wagon. Perfect. And I got an all-terrain red wagon. Here it comes now.
Is it
its debut?
Is it a flying?
Oh, GMU to man.
Whatever.
Careful.
Oh,
isn't that pretty? That is perfect.
He fixed your little red wagon.
He did. Thank you, Jim. He's a terrible driver.
I get my license next week. Okay. You move your feet, your legs, might buy.
Isn't it pretty?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hold on, Jim.
Very good.
I will.
Well, you know, you hit a certain age.
You go backwards. You've inspired me to get a wagon, Carol.
Pardon?
You've inspired me to get a wagon. I think I want one. I'm having a little bit of wagon to be
my own. I have a
couple. There you go. See, everyone needs one of these. An all-terrain little red wagon.
They have collapsible ones now, too.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you tell me.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were getting a little red wagon. They have them at Sam's, your favorite store to go to.
Wow.
But this is special because her husband ordered it.
Yes, he ordered it for me.
That's awesome.
He paid, it's my birthday present.
Early.
Midway.
Your birthday, 3/4?
Or anniversary.
Anniversary, that's
yeah,
it.
It's just because he loves you, present.
Aww.
I got you. I love it. I think it's great. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
You did good, Jim.
Good. Thanks.
Hey,
Jim. Yay, Jim.
Where'd he
go to?
Washing his hands.
Okay, any last minute questions about anything while we're on this?
We'll have to get back to the other cache next time.
Yeah. Pardon?
He forgot his question. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll do.
Well, it's probably not a minute or two.
No.
Okay.
It'll probably take a while.
So. What?
No, it was in the lifting, mm-hmm. all the different names, which of course I sometimes don't get pronounced right.
All the
you
names.
You could just go in and describe a little bit about.
Okay, all the names are a few of the 72 names of God. And each name represents an aspect of God with legions that actually work under that aspect of God, that have authorities over certain dominions and entities that no others have. So you have to use the specific names of God. It's like www.com to get what you need, to have the authority that you need to remove what you need to have removed. Okay? But it helps to be able to pronounce the names. And on the back of the lifting is how to phonetically pronounce each name of God. Like Shem, S-H-E-M, Fer, F-E-R, Osh. Shem, Fer, Osh.
Shem,
Shem. Shem, I'm sorry, Shem,
Him, Fer, Osh.
All right, I'm tired. So if you use those, you want to get it as correct as possible. The legions are the legions under those basic names of God.
Would you be able to put like a list of each one of them that you know of with their specific aspect? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah,
what's
their person? There is a book over there.
Oh,
that 72 names of God.
And they'll have it all.
And it's all in there.
It's all in there.
You've got a description of the name, too, on the back of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're in the dictionary.
Oh.
Look them up.
In the regular dictionary?
Yes, ma'am.
In one of the big ones. You know,
in a big one.
Like an old Webster's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big Webster.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's online.
I would think
so. On their
so.
Online. I mean, on their online dictionary.
I would think so. And it gives what the names mean.
The Benaiur was not. I've tried to look that up before.
Benaiur, you find it in the Keys of Enoch.
Okay.
Benaiur. I was told about the Benaiur, and then I was told I could find it in the Keys of Enoch. They were right. Amazing.
That you were given on a plane.
That I was given on a plane, yes.
By someone she didn't know.
By a stewardess that I didn't know, yes. Because my guides told me that I needed the Keys of Enoch. Okay, here you go. I'm on a plane. And the stewardess walks up to me and she said, "You need the Keys of Enoch." "Yes, I do. I have the Keys of Enoch. I'll trade you for your book. You know, I have a book. I wrote a book." She said, "Is it okay?" I said, "Sure." "Thank you."
And
figure.
You.
Mm-hmm. Is that not bizarre?
That happens to you all the time.
It
though.
Does happen to me all the time. It really does. Oh, I wanted to tell you something. When you are on your path, your right path, where you're supposed to be, everything falls into place for you. When you take a detour off of your path, everything starts going to hell. Got it?
Yep.
Got it. When you hit a brick wall, it doesn't say pound your head here. It says turn around, go in a different direction. God is trying to help us. We won't listen until we get a 2x4 or whatever. So I'm giving you a heads up. When you're on your path, everything falls into place. Even the bad things that come into play, you will ease through them if you don't veer off your path. And most of us have a tendency to veer off of our path onto someone else's path. Sharon. Got it?
I think so. I've been working real hard on it.
So, with that, we'll go ahead and do the circle. And I guess we're going to move a little red ratchet somewhere.